Hey, you. Yes, I mean you, dear listener. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this Warui Desho podcast, made in association with Wave Motion Canon. We're so happy to have the pleasure of your company today. If you've listened to us before and like our show, you might be wondering how you can support us, since we won't take your money. This podcast will continue to be free, but if you'd like to show your appreciation, please consider leaving us a rating and review on iTunes, as those help our discoverability. If you don't use iTunes, that's fine too. You can follow us and like and share our content on SoundCloud, Twitter, and sometimes the Wave Motion Canon YouTube page. Additionally, we love getting your feedback, positive or negative. Tweet us at Warui Desho or email us at waruidesho@gmail.com. Whether or not it gets read on the show, I can assure you, we all read every tweet and email you send us. And once again, dear listener, we thank you so much. Now please, enjoy the show.
Warui Desho.
Hello, and welcome back to Warui Desho, and this is Stream of Thought. We're continuing to cover everyone's new favourite golden child of anime, which is Recovery of an MMO Junkie. But I'm not alone in this endeavour. I do have a group set up, a nice little party to dive into the dungeon that is this anime. With me is my healer and support class and all-around great guy, the Subtle Doxer.
Am I just in group chat, or is this public chat? Can everyone hear me?
Oh, very much public chat, my friend.
All right, well, I will then cease the conversation that we were having a moment ago. Eyebrow raise.
That is staying strictly offline, that, folks, I'm afraid. So speaking of offline, though, let's crack on with the plot. So previously on MMO Junkie, Sakurai finally came to the firm conclusion that Hayashi and Morioka are the same person. And the opening of this episode is him trying to figure out what he's going to do about that and what he does with that knowledge. And correct me if I'm wrong, Dob, but let me ask you a question here, right?
Fire away.
If I were to show you this episode of the show out of context, who would you argue the main protagonist of the show is?
Oh, it would be Sakurai.
Does it not feel a bit odd to you that we've kind of had this complete switch?
Yeah, I suppose in a way, yes, right? But maybe the author felt that for narrative satisfaction and to do justice, you know, to the story and romance, that they needed to divulge some details of Sakurai's inner life and some stuff from his point of view, to make everything make the most sense, perhaps. That this is all speculation.
I say this because, like, it felt very odd to me watching this, how things have shifted. And it doesn't feel like they've shifted necessarily because Morioka herself has overcome what was troubling her. I mean, the most she's had done at the moment is a makeover. And that, for the most part, seems to have wiped away her problems and yet not. Like, the problems that she was facing were the work-related ones and, of course, her own, you know, sociophobia, like, you know, her own anxieties about speaking to people.
She's made a little bit of progress there, I think.
Oh, yeah. She's made a little bit of progress there, but it feels like a lot of progress in some respect. Like, because now the lion's share of the emotional struggling and emotional wrangling is Sakurai's. And I don't know how to feel about this. Like, it's good stuff that happens here. Like, the discussions that he has with himself, and how he feels about dividing his time online and offline, and how he used it to become someone else. And that he didn't have to worry about this thing crossing over, and now it feels all very tainted in a sense. Like, he explicitly states that he wished he could go back to the way things were, where he didn't know. He had no idea who Hayashi was.
Yeah, he was very happy playing with Hayashi as Hayashi, and not as a character played by this other person that he knew.
And is quite infatuated with Taboo.
Yeah. And I think he says at one point he felt like it was getting too personal, but he felt it could have gone on that way forever because he just enjoyed it so much being with the Hayashi character and interacting with them in their their personality. Did you think it was interesting or noteworthy that in that opening monologue from Sakurai, the voice was switching back and forth between Sakurai and Lily?
Yes, I do. I absolutely do. I have a theory on this, but do you have any, what's your thoughts on it, Doc?
I mean, to be honest with you, I don't know if I have more than what we talked about when we brought this up earlier as just them trying to really forge the online characters' personalities as distinct entities. I mean, certainly you can't like sever the link completely between the IRL and the avatar. But like, I mean, I mean, that was my theory, is just that, that they wanted to individuate to some degree. But it sounds like you have more thoughts.
I do. I actually think this is the show, or rather Sakurai, telling himself one thing while unwittingly believing another. Because he states that he went on to become Lily, and Lily is a different person. Like, a different character. But the fact that we keep flipping back and forth between their inner voices, I think that the show right here is saying to us, Sakurai believes that he did this, and he's like, totally separate things, like, you know. But in reality, he and Lily are one and the same. And I think that by extension, as much as he thinks to himself that it was all great and wonderful, like, you know, playing with Hayashi, when he didn't know that it was Morioka, like, they're the same as well. This, in my opinion, and I think the audience opinion should be fantastic news. Like, this is a woman he obviously feels very strong with, he has some infatuation as he's attracted to, and now he's found out that they share a common interest. And you'd think that that would be a cause for celebration. Because at the end of the day, after all, Morioka, you know, she was still typing those words. Hayashi's not like an AI program speaking for her on her behalf, much in the same way as Lily's not. Indeed, at some point later in this episode, Hayashi, Morioka, says to Lily, your advice reminded me of him.
Right.
As in Sakurai.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that Sakurai is trying to pretend that there's this divide, and as way, you know, of like, you know, trying to keep things the way they were without realizing that everything he's done as Lily to help Morioka in the game and make her feel welcome came from him. It came from who he is. You don't conjure this shit up out of thin air.
Right.
It's Sakurai's denial of his nature. Even though, like, again, this is back to the theory I said at the very beginning, where the divide was made clear by Hayashi in the first episode. Real life is real life, online is online.
Mm-hmm.
But that's obviously now been proven not to be true. We've had a lot of superficial things tested. The fashion stuff, for example. But this is actually more personal and more emotional in that level. Like,
yeah,
Sakurai has encouraged Morioka through the game and then given her advice and made her feel supported. And then looked after in person with the incident with the hospital, for example. And we actually get a flashback to that in this very episode to remind you it's there. So, it's such a shame because it makes you realise Sakurai is going in the opposite direction to which he really should be, in that he's regressing or trying to push this part of himself outside of it, even though, and trying to keep Morioka like as a separate entity from Hayashi and just try and make things the way they were because it was untainted and pure. But that's only because he's so terrified of ruining things by revealing to her who he actually is.
Thing about it too, that it's painful for him because he's given up on his feelings for Morioka, like, or I mean, in the way that he subconsciously can't, but he's trying consciously to say, like, I'm not gonna interfere, she's with Koiwai now, I'm not gonna see her again or talk to her again because I don't want to like create any weirdness between myself and those two. And so, you know, to find out that this character, this person that he just loved being around online so much, like this character that was his escape from reality when he wanted to escape, which is what he thought he was playing online games for, was to sink into the fantasy, like to now then be confronted with the reality of, like, not pleasant escapism, but, oh, here's yet another thing that you wanted that you let go, and that you can never have is probably very painful.
Oh, no, it's very true. Like, I think it's a very natural reaction, I suppose, but it's just didn't... I don't know, it's hard to explain, but I think that the way that it's being presented here is that he has the answer right in front of him, but he's taking the alternate path because of his fear. Because at the end of the day, he doesn't even, like, him actually being romantically involved with Marioka should have no impact in reality on him telling her that he's Lilith. It shouldn't merely matter on paper, but he's got this all tangled up, and it's a cocktail of emotions.
If Hayashi is Marioka, and she finds out that, you know, is Sakurai, it might very well create awkwardness because of their real life interactions. You know, I can see if he wants to preserve the purity of the relationship that Lily and Hayashi have, like. Hmm. The only way of doing it is for Morioka not to know. Well, the best way of doing it is for neither of them to know, but now he's, you know, eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he can't undo that, and he knows.
Yeah.
So, like, the poor guy is torturing himself in some way by, yeah. Like, you know, he's going, yeah. You know, thinking, like, oh, it makes her happy if I log on at this time, and I miss her, you know, and then when yeah. he's there with them, like, he's just thinking the whole time, that it's just not what it was, and if only he could go back to how it was. It's kind of sad, but if he was not such a sort of formal, polite person, you know, if he was more like Koiwai, perhaps mm-hmm. perhaps it wouldn't matter so much. Perhaps he could say, like, well, I'll just be friends with her, it'll be fine. But just for whatever reason, he doesn't feel he can do that, and perhaps he just thinks, like, it will cause, you know, Morioka some pain in some kind of way. It would make her awkward, feel awkward, or make her want to leave the game.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't know the fact that, you know, she knows she's playing with Fujimoto and what have you.
Yeah.
Maybe he thinks, like, well, that'll just create so much weirdness for her that it'll take a joy away from her as well.
Yeah. I don't disagree with his actions. I mean, they're like, he's emotionally messed up about all uh-huh. this. He's got so many things, like, blended in his head about, you know, the fact that he's romantically interested in her, the fact that, you know, he feels that it's already game over for him with her because of Koiwai getting involved, and then because it's changed the dynamics of the relationship. I just find it sad that in doing all this self-examination, the real truth of his nature shining through Lily and being one the same is right there before him.
Yeah.
But he chooses to assert the opposite, which is to make that divide all the more prominent in his own head, if nothing else. Even though, as we've seen, as I've said, his good nature has shown through both in the game and online. That divide that the show asserted in the very first episode is now being tested again on the most important level, the emotional one. And it's such a shame.
It is. Well, and toward the end of the episode, though, you could say his resolve diminishes, or you could say he pivots and decides to take a new path, but he changes direction on all of this a bit, and we can get to that when we come to the plot points, but thankfully he doesn't kind of stay stuck
yeah
in that mode of thinking, at least my way of reading it.
No, yeah, he has a small change at that point, like, towards the end indeed. This is arguably the low point that I was expecting in, like, the, you know, the narrative arc kind of thing, you know. You always got to go low before you can go high. I just still, again, find it strangely strange that we've now had this complete pitch shift into it being Sakurai who gets the lion's share of this, even though you'd think it would be Marioka, given she was the one we've been following that closely for so long.
Yeah.
I'm not against this in principle, because, again, like, I think this was very well handled and directed, like, with the voices, as you mentioned. It just feels weird. I don't know. I'll have to... I think that's something I'll have to come back to once I've seen the entire
mm-hmm,
show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to put a pin in it.
Yeah. I don't think you're saying anything unfair.
Speaking of pins and unrelated, let's move on to the dress-up scene.
Woohoo!
So, in order to distract himself, Sakurai gets back online, starts talking with people again, puts Lily for a bit of dress-up, like, with all the outfits they've got. They have a discussion about hairstyles and such. It's...
Kanbei's hair!
Kanbei's hair.
That was incredible. So good.
That was good, but I have to say, I did feel like that this scene felt like a bit of dead air to me. Like, I don't know. There weren't that many jokes in it. it wasn't really about Sakurai dealing with his emotional. I was just like, okay, let's put Lily in dress. I'm like, okay, what's this about? I'm not sure. I don't know. The thing, like, kind of ran a little, like, hollow to me. I don't know what the point, like, I've said before, like, about purposes of scenes, like, I'm not sure what the point of this was other than to say maybe that he was trying to get back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
In fact, no, I've answered my own question. There we go, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, disregard everything I've just said.
No, but they could have had him get back into the swing of things in a bunch of different ways.
What follows next was a scene that had me screaming at my TV. And not in a bad way. I was there like, Sakurai and Lily and Ayashi are going to the tree, the one they always spend time at. There are fireflies there and everything, it's dark. And, like, we get a bit of back and forth here, like, you know, between him and Ayashi, speaking about, you know, what's happened recently and the advice that he gave Morioka. In fact, we even cut back to Morioka in her apartment at this point a couple of times. And this, again, is quite well-directed, actually. I felt this flowed really well, the cuts between the characters in-game.
Can I ask you a question about this scene regarding Morioka and her apartment?
Yeah.
So when it cuts back to her, she's obviously been changed by the makeover regarding her hair and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But she also, the character, has no bags over her eyes at all. Does not look mm-hmm. haggard or sleep-deprived or anything like that. Looks like she's still wearing makeup and very, very aware and bright-eyed. Like, there's something quite superficial about all that. I don't know. She's talking to men, and she's been on a date, and, like, she's done a thing, and the show trying to, I guess, maybe present her as a desirable character. I don't know. Maybe as the show moves forward, it will feel, in the context of the whole, more, like, organic.
Yeah.
More like, well, she's just kind of moving back to a different way of being, or different conception of womanhood, or just changing some things in her life, and that will be just fine. But something about it, like, struck a weird note with me.
Again, I think this ties back to what I said before, that now we've had such a pitch shift into us, like, you know, getting the bulk of the emotional wrangling down with Sakurai. Like, what we get with Morioka is, like, it feels like all the problems are gone.
Yeah.
Even though they're really not.
Yeah, like, why is she not? I'm assuming it's been quite a bit of time.
Yeah.
Like, because in the episode, a couple weeks even pass within the context of the episodes. No telling how much time passed before the episode. Like, so, I mean, why does she not look the same as she looked before, you know, when for days on end she was just being a neat and not going out on dates?
I don't have an answer for that. This is the thing, though. Like, I think that this is a result of the focus shifting to Sakurai. And I think that, therefore, it's caused them to lose track of, like, no disrespect to Sakurai, he's a fine character, but the reason I was enjoying this show, I am enjoying this show so much, I should stress, is because it's Morioka's reactions. Like, she was funny, she was interesting, to watch, interesting to see how she was getting on, dealing with all this stuff. And now that, like, she's had the makeover, it's like, 90% of what made of the problems she was dealing with seem to have vanished, even though they've not. Like, she's still not in a job, and as I've mentioned many a time, this situation cannot proceed forever. It that's simply the reality of it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the point of view is that apart from her social anxieties, maybe there are no problems. Maybe it's just like, well, neatdom is just a lifestyle choice, and if she's happy, you know, doing her thing, then there's nothing wrong with that.
If that's the case, then what was the crisis that we were dealing with? Like, this is the thing I said to you before, like, we need an emotional course to work around for this to be compelling. I mean, having Morioka just do, like, silly neat stuff after coming out of that opening in the very first episode, mm-hmm. and the hints that we get about how she found the workplace so stifling.
Yeah.
Like, if we're now not going to get any more meat on that, it's going to hamper the show's overall satisfaction, I think. Like,
what if the romance is the thing?
That's fine, but again, like, they've put these elements in there. They should be utilized to their fullest.
I agree.
And I think that can then complement the romance even more.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've mentioned to you in the previous episode as well, if it is the romance, then it kind of unfortunately makes you think, oh, well, it's all sold by me getting with a man, or, you know, vice versa. in Sakurai's case. I mean, as much as I like say that's you know I'll give a man, I'll be fine. It also works the other way. It's not strictly related to woman on man or vice versa. Like getting a relationship does not automatically paper over you and solve your problems. I don't know. Some of this things rings a little bit hollow, and I'm just hoping that with the 3 episodes remaining, because it is only 10 episodes long, this show, that we get more of this.
Mm-hmm.
That's my hope. But anyway, so this scene is Hayashi telling Lily and thanking her for all the assistance she's given and complimenting Sakurai indirectly, again, using the inverted gender thing, like the woman with the glasses and all that. And Sakurai's got his hand on his chest. He's like, I'm, and I'm like, say it. Say it. Just say it. And he doesn't.
No.
And I had to pause. I had to pause because it was, I literally saw, through no fault of her own, Marouka putting daggers in the poor man's heart.
I know.
I could see it. It was like watching Pop-Up Pirate. And I thought, I really wanted it to be the moment in which they said it, and then like maybe you have like, I don't know, Hayashi just log off all of a sudden in shock. I don't know.
At least she only had like good things to say about Sakurai. You know?
Yeah.
At no point was she like, oh, and this Kowai fellow, or sorry, this Kowai lady. So she just, and to the point where Sakurai was like, all right, you can talk about Kowai now, because the more she said kind things about him, I think the more it, his heart beat faster and it stoked those flames and of those feelings. And he didn't want that. He's already made his mind up to not. And she is just saying all these wonderful things. And, he just can't bring himself to move forward with it at this point or say anything. And
I mean, I this is not a scene I like hated or disagreed with. I think that this again is probably how a lot of people would react, man or woman, if they were being given indirect compliment in such a way from someone they were attracted to.
Yeah,
they would be completely like, they'd ostrich it. They'd just bury their heads in the sand. Like, this is great. I'm cool with this, even though they really should say something.
Mm.
But that's not what happens. So, after that, cut to break, cut back from break, and we get,
when you intro'd the last scene with this scene made me feel strongly, I thought you were talking about this. Oh, this scene is amazing.
I could not believe this when it happened. Like,
The first time I watched it, I was like, well, this is the show killing itself.
Yeah, this is it. This is the fucking... So, first off, apparently you can buy giant burgers as cushions.
I was so good to have it, the hamburger pillow.
I think, right, so to give you guys some context, this is Kowai's apartment we're in now.
Oh, God.
He's got a laptop, and he sat next to a giant burger cushion. Incidentally, his mobile phone case, his cell phone case, has a burger on it as well.
I don't
get it. Whatever. So, I think, I know what happens next, but let's just say that if every way to make an MMO character, you should call a Big Mac, because he's clearly very, very fond of them. So poor Sakurai gets a phone call from Kowai. He says, hey, Sakura-chan, what are you doing? Oh, you're in work, are you? Well, I might need your help with something later, but don't worry about it. And then camera cuts. He's installing fucking Fruit and Air on his fucking laptop. So this fucking guy is now deciding, okay, I've already, had a fun time with Marouka in the real world. Let's go and chase her down in this one.
I will play Fruit de Mer with Mori Mori Chan.
This scene, again, is well engineered because he doesn't outright state the game he's playing. It just cuts to the logo of the installer as he's talking.
Let me tell you, though, I have a behavior theory about this. So, Kowai is Sakurai Senior. He is, in some sense, maybe not his supervisor, but I think he's, when he says, oh, it's your weekend to go in, he knows.
Of course he does.
That shit. Like, he's very aware. And so, what I think that he's actually doing is I don't think he's trying to make a move on Morimori so much as I think, like I said, some time has passed. He's watched his Kohai sort of soldier on in loneliness and make the decision. And so I think he said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to push these two together. I'm going to do it. And the only way I know how, the best way I know how right now is to get on this goddamn video game and fuck shit up.
Oh, God.
That's what I think he's doing. I think he's still trying to bring them together.
I hope so. I had to, again, just take a breathe when it sounds like, I was like, wait, what? What?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So, after hanging up on Sakurai, he rings Morioka and says, oh, yeah, I'm totally downloading that MMO you told me about last night. How do I get this thing working? And Morioka lapses back with her reactions.
Does he say last night? Does he say the MMO you told me about last night?
Was it, well, on the day, whenever the date
okay,
was.
Okay, okay.
Like,
the only reason I say that would throw off a lot of kind of my working theories of things, because in my head, I was under the impression that some time since episode 6 had passed.
I didn't get the impression that as much time had passed, but certainly...
Not like a year, but, you know...
Oh, no.
Some weeks.
I figured at least some time had passed, because there's no way that for someone who got that drunk that she wouldn't have woken up the following morning and
yes.
think, ow... I can attest to that, having recently
yeah.
done that, folks. You don't get away with that. Morioka has one of her reactions, which almost reminded me of how she was originally, like,
yes.
before she had Mako. When, like, literally she gets told, oh, fuck! What's this? Is really happening? And I'm like, you and me both, girl. I didn't fucking think this was going to happen. So...
Head and keyboard.
So Morioka's like, okay, I play a guy online, and I don't want my guildmates to know. I'm now going to let this other gentleman play and I think this might actually tangentially relate back to the thing that Kanbei said to her, no romance. And I don't think that maybe Morioka is necessarily interested strictly on romantic thing with Kohai, but maybe she's concerned it'll develop that way, and obviously then it's against the guild.
Oh, so I just, that's interesting that you read it that way. My thought was just that for her, she still thinks that that playing as a guy, is weird for people, or is a thing for her to be ashamed about. And so because Koiwai knew it was her, she did not want to reveal to Koiwai that she played a guy.
Ah, I think that's true.
And she just wanted to create this new character. And then she was like, you know, oh, let me go see your new character. What? You're a lady?
Yes, indeed.
So I was glad that he did that. Whether or not he intentionally, of course he didn't know, but, whatever way the message can get to her that it's cool if you play a guy online, it's not a big deal. I want that message to get to her.
She does also strictly state out loud, though, that she doesn't want to necessarily introduce him to her online friends anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She does not want that happening.
Yeah. So Morioka decides to create what we in the MMO circles call an alt, which is a secondary character. I've had a few of those. I had an undead mage. I had a Draenei shaman. Fun times having alts. So she creates one. She still states, by the way, that Lily San is her image of cute, so she keeps thinking like how Lily looks and all that.
Yes.
Now, it turns out that indeed I was right all along about the hair color being a thing, because this is where she explicitly references the character she played in the previous MMO.
Mm-hmm.
And the new female character she creates is pretty much the female character amalgam we see of her in the opening.
Right.
Slight differences in hairstyle, but otherwise looks very similar. So after this, she logs on with her new character and bumps into Kowai's character. Nico and Kanbei are nearby, by the way.
Harumi.
Yeah, Kowai's character Harumi is exactly how I would expect someone who's never played Nemo to design such a character.
And his face is the same as his face in real life. It's
yeah,
incredible.
Exactly. It's exactly how I would expect someone to do that who could not give two tosses about games but sees all these various sliders and I'm going to make it look as goofy as I fucking can. Because he's made a lady character with long flowing blonde hair, a rack that you could park a bike in, and he's also built like a tank. Like, every aspect of this character has been cranked up to max as far as he's concerned.
I mean, at one point, he's just laughing because of how out of place he looks in the game.
Yeah.
And I think this lends some credence to my theory of, like, this is not a serious pursuit for him to go in and, like, yes, me and Morimori will have a real, like, thing online, and I will get close to her by doing this thing that she... It's just a tool that he's using, I think, to bring Sakurai and Morioka together, and it's funny to him. It's not something he takes all that seriously.
Indeed. So, Kanbei and Nico getting on this as he's trying to figure out, like, you know, the foibles of doing party chat versus general chat, which everyone can hear about, the kind of stuff I've talked about.
Yeah, I was really happy that we got some Nico moments, because...
Indeed.
Like, she has only been briefly mentioned or around in the previous episodes, and she made me laugh a lot.
She was only even in there in a flashback, actually, with Pio, I believe.
Okay, there was no... All right, yeah. I remember that, with the... She gave him something unexpectedly. I couldn't recall, though, if there was ever, like, a time that Lily had to log off if she was in the party or anything like that, but yeah, this is our first real time with her, and she's... a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Nico's a cool character, and so they have like a bit of fun ribbing here with the pair of them. Kanbei, however, immediately clocks on that this new character, whose name is what was it, Molly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Molly was the name of Morioka's new character. To the point where fucking Koiwai almost lets this, like, Mori Chanese, but he's saying in the game, so obviously,
yeah,
you know, people would have potentially clocked onto that. But anyway,
how
are you thinking that people are dumb for not recognizing the hairstyle?
No. That's not it. I am. So I don't know. I may be getting ahead of myself. Let's please continue.
Okay, so we cut back to Sakurai, who comes back home after a long day at work. He collapses
back. You know what? I'm going to say this one out because I think
All
right. How the fuck does Fujimoto, how does it even enter his mind that Harumi could be Koiwai? How?
That's a good point, actually, because he never explicitly makes the connect. He never explicitly makes... No, wait. No, I know how he knows.
Doesn't he say, could that be him? How? Why would you think that?
I know how he knows, and I'll explain. Kanbei, Fujimoto, clocks on that Molly is not a newbie. And I think that he messages Morioka privately, saying, can I ask you something, at which point we then cut away.
I think the moment you're talking about is he's talking to Nico, because I think that's the scene where he says, I thought you worked on the weekends, and then we cut away.
No, he explicitly messages Molly directly.
Huh.
He flat out messages it. And in fact, I'm trying to find it while I'm flicking through the episode here while it's paused.
Go for it. Because, like, I was not aware that he even connected the Molly character to Hayashi or to Morioka.
I think that he guessed, because he wasn't actually outright stating.
Well, that's just a fucking super genius, then. I mean, how do you know that? Like, how would you even guess that?
The common hair color? Like, the fact that...
They're just blue. Like, if this game is not... you know, a mini multiplayer online game, and it's a massively multiplayer online game, and there are a lot of people playing it, I'm sure there are a fuck ton of people that pick blue hair.
Well, you know what's funny? Sakurai says the exact same thing later in a slightly different context, and it's true.
I know. I can excuse it for him for reasons I'll get into, but like...
Fuck my life.
It's just... This is the one point, and I'm not like upset at the show, because clearly, like we've expressed before, like coincidence is
part of
the fuel to the show's fire.
Oh boy!
But
oh,
like,
boy.
This isn't even coincidence. This is just like Fujimoto, the character. I feel making these leaps in logic that like are just that, are these massive leaps that are only reasonable because the author is aware of everything and makes him guess right. Unless I'm missing something, I just absolutely cannot see any legitimate reason for him to even have an inkling of a guess that that's Morioka or Koiwai.
Well, I think that he determines its call Y based on it firstly figuring out that it's Moriko.
Yeah, but why? But why, though? That she only knows four people in real life? You're going to assume that?
He does know that she's a neat, because bear in mind they were having the discussion in which he was privy. He had the discussion with Lily and her about the drink, you know, going out for the fashion thing. We'd have to go through it. You know what? Let me just sum up by saying it does seem very contrived. I'll let it slide because it's not plot crucial. It's just a jump.
It's not that it's the contrivance. Fujimoto's a super genius. Like, that's the thing. I don't mind the coincidences being so as much. Like, the fact that the two main characters used to play another MMO together and were close. Like, I mind that far, far less, like, the universe sort of being set up that way. I mind that less than the character in the midst of the story, like, using reasoning that, to me, makes no sense.
I think that I'd have to do one of those, like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia things with the giant board of, like, pins, like, and pieces of stringling together. I think that there is evidence there, but I'd have to properly list it all in reams and reams of detail.
That's fair.
I'm gonna make a statement, which is not to bother with that, because there's something else that absolutely does deserve a lot of discussion here. So, Sakurai, he gets back home, and he gets a message, and it's a message from Kowai. Because Kowai is just, you know, hey, check what I've been doing. And poor Sakurai, like, he already was like, you know, Kowai is getting into Morioka, and now they're invading what is essentially his safe space.
Jerry, don't you see this world here? This is George's sanctuary. If Susan comes into contact with this world, his worlds collide. You know what happens then?
So, he gets sent a message saying, I've installed Fruit in there, and I'm going to be playing with Mori-Mori-chan. And I'm just like, God damn it, Kowai, do you ever let up?
No, he wants to get them together. It's part of his plan.
I think he's having a right good laugh as well. Like, this is like what the Joker from The Dark Knight would do if he wanted to put two people together.
Yes, yes.
Why he's so serious, Sakura-chan?
He's so evil.
But he then sends a picture of Morioka's new character, Molly, to Sakurai. Whew, fucking hell. So, do you remember how we said in the previous episode that there was a possibility that we feared that it would turn out that Sakurai was kid in the previous MMO that Oriko played, and they already...
I've been readying myself for this for a while.
And,
yeah.
Well, it is...
It's him.
And I know it is, because I found there's a small little detail. Like, I appreciate the show doing this, even though it's in service of something that I'm not down with. But he refers to the other character, Morioka's character in the previous MMO, as Yuki, which is Snow.
Uh-huh.
Now, cast your mind back to the list of names of characters that Morioka was coming up with when she was starting through Demare. What was the one at the bottom of the list?
Was it Yuki? I didn't see that. Okay.
It was.
Yeah.
It was. So she had the same... And that's coincidental, admittedly. It doesn't prove Jack Diddley shit. But I think that of all the... When you've got all the other silly names like Black of Darkness Lightning or whatever it was called, that's the one reasonable name she's got there. I think it seems reasonable she was going to carry that through, much like she did with the hair colour.
Yeah.
Because again, she carried that through.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it turns out that...
Oh, I think they reveal this in a more straightforward way than just that.
They do, because Sakurai states it. I'm just using it to shore that up because he suspects. He doesn't truly think that may be the case. He writes off as possibly a coincidence.
Yes.
But I'm saying that piece of evidence combined with that absolutely confirms it.
Oh, yeah, I think, all the imagery and the flashbacks we've seen from either perspective, like, it's hard to conclude otherwise.
Yeah. So... In which we also get Morioka's Yuki saying that she wants to quit her job really badly.
Yes.
So that's another tiny piece of the puzzle there. I prefer a lot more pieces of that, to be honest. Okay, do you want to go first or shall I? Because I feel we both have a lot we want to say about this.
I think our opinions might differ.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So I don't know. Would you... I'm up for either.
Oh, let me get my wallet out. Heads or tails, Doc? I am literally getting a coin out.
All right, I'll go tails.
Okay. All right, let's see if I can flick this and actually catch it properly. Okay. Let's see what we got. It is tails. You are first, my friend. All right,
okay. So, well, like I said, from early on in the show, I have suspected that this would be the case. I'm not sure if it's because I'm familiar with the genre, the medium, where I felt that like this would be not be a thing that they introduced this other MMO and this relationship without then revealing who the character was that Morioka was close to. And it has only made sense throughout that it would be Sakurai. So I think some people might accuse me of being of hypocrisy because I actually do not have a problem with this in any way. I understand why other people would, but I think there are folks listening out there who'd be like, wait a minute, like you just had a conniption about Fujimoto applying reasoning that he shouldn't be able to, like getting to a conclusion that was right on really, really flimsy reasoning, only because the author is writing this and the author knows all. So why then, why do you have no problem with Sakurai coming to this conclusion and at the end of the episode remaking that character from the old game? I think he sees, he looks at Molly's character, and he actually knows that that's Morioka at this point. He looks at the character and he sees what he wants to see. He sees what he's been thinking about for a long time. He sees something special to him, and he wants to gamble. I mean, I think he says to himself, is it okay for me to dream a little bit? Like, I don't think he, like, is 100% for sure this is the case, but there's enough similarities, and by God, enough goddamn insane coincidences have been proving true in his life up to this point that I think he's willing, like all that combines to like where he's like sees what he wants to see and he's willing to roll the dice. And so he steps forward to do this. And my God, like shit is going to hit the fan and it's going to get nuts. But like, I'm actually fine because I feel that him doing that and him concluding that Morioka slash Hayashi was also Yuki, like, has been built up to, and there's, I think that there's enough there for him to reach that. Now, the issue that you probably have is, like, the fact that Sakurai slash Lily is that character in the first place is just far too contrived and convenient. And, like, depending on why you have a problem with it, like, I just might not really have a rebuttal. Like, I just guess I don't mind it very much. Perhaps I'm numb to it, but I've seen such like it before. And it may end up being the thing that smooths the skids such that they can get together. And I can see, depending on how that's done, that might make the entire thing unsatisfying. So I get that this is fraught with risks for the narrative, but in a vacuum, I don't necessarily have a problem with it. But I get that it's not perfect.
Fair? No, I totally get your point of view. Here's my issues with it.
All right.
First off, and I think this is a big one for me, do you remember what Sakurai said when he was discussing with Hayashi in the field before they became partners about the incident, referring to this specifically of, you know, how he met someone he cared about, which was Yuki?
Yes.
And then how, and this is the thing that this hinges on, is important to me at least, is how although that went wrong, for whatever reason they fell out of contact, he was open to the possibility of meeting new people.
Right.
I feel that that point has been completely undercut by what's happened because it's the exact same person. And I think that it damages Morioka's own agency as well. Like, she's not met a new person who's made her better. She's just met the same person again. I suppose it's appropriate for a fantasy MMO to feel very fairy tale like.
It is.
But I don't know, man. It's hard for me. It's hard for me to explain. It's hard for me to explain in a way that doesn't come across as just being very superficial. Like, I hate this because it is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to dig more deeply into why I think this is narratively unsatisfying.
That is an interesting point, though, about them not being new people. It was unfair that that happened, you know, because she had to work, and then the MMO was put out of service. And then, pow, they were cast apart again for a while. The relationships that they have with their community, like their guild community, are, like, really foundational. And they would never have gone on to meet to find the same people if they weren't willing to meet new people. Do you see, like, Lily, like, if Sakurai wasn't willing to be Lily and put himself as Lily out there, then he would never have, like, if he was just like, oh, woe is me, this one thing didn't work out, you know, fuck the world, he would never have gotten to get back with her again. So, like, the reunion is made possible by his willingness to be open to others.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I'm still very much of the opinion that this would have been better if we'd never have actually found out who that character was in the first place.
I, like, can't argue with you. Like, that... You could very well be right. I totally get that.
I think that because at the end of it all, like, well, all of these contrivances are starting to feel like the strong whiff of destiny.
Yep.
Like, and for a woman, for Morioka, whose whole character has been about being unable to take and seize what she wants, to act how she wants, to live her life how she wants, for all of this to be happening, irrespective of her actions, that it's the same fucking guy, it runs counter to what I feel her... And this is, again, I stress what I feel, so it's not black and white lore and all that.
Right.
What I feel would make for a satisfying narrative arc in that she gains a sense of agency, because everything that's happening now is in spite of her... Well, not in spite of her, but just, it is. It's a force of nature that seems to be coming into play, rather than her... growing and aiming. I mean, Jesus Christ, Sakurai has been complaining the entire episode about his inability to take this action that he wants to do, and then suddenly it falls on his lap and forces him to it. I don't know, it whiffs very strongly of that destiny element that I'm not fond of.
Well, she did make the choice to become a Fruit de Mer player and join a guild and talk to these men in her life and move forward with that. I feel like she is... You know, despite, yes, like, the star-crossed lover element, I do think she's making choices and growing, and her circumstances and the people that she's met, you know, are, like, they are helping her, I think, to make some decisions, and some key decisions, I think, for her coming up in the next episodes. They'll be very interesting, and...
Yeah.
And I think that this development... is actually really interesting for Sakurai. I don't want to say this, like, move aside, Morioka. Like, this is cool for Sakurai, so it's cool for the story. Because I'm with you. I think Morioka is actually the best and primary and most interesting character, and her problems are the central problems, and they need to be given attention. However, I do think that Sakurai understanding why he plays these games is kind of cool. Once he sort of puts it together that Hayashi is Morioka, is Molly, is Yuki, he kind of looks within himself and he's like, well...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Like, why? Like, I thought I wanted anonymity from all this, but really, it's this sense of community that is possible here, you know, that this is just another... That I love. And, like, he's not like, I love this community, I don't like real-life community... You know, he's got great relationships in real life, but there's just this other space that facilitates a different kind of community. And for all this time, he thought he liked it because it was escapism and he was anonymous. But, like, no, it's the relationships that he's cared about so much.
No, I absolutely agree. I think you're 100% right. I certainly have no issue with anything that's presented with Sakurai's thinking in this episode. I think it's been all very well directed, very well handled, very maturely written. Like, the inner monologue he has when he's back and forth between him as himself and him as Lily, I think is fantastic.
Uh-huh.
But there's something I have to say. this show is called Recovery of an MMO Junkie, but I don't think the recovery element is of related to the MMO Junkie bit. I think it's from the other issues that Mario has. That's why I think it relates. I think the MMO Junkie is just a separate thing.
Just another descriptor.
Yeah.
Not having to do with the recovery. No. It'd be like if we said recovery of an office woman.
Yes, same difference. Yeah. Exactly. So let me just say this, right, Doc. I actually very recently read your article about anxiety in the anime and about shonen and like how...
Well, thank you.
Those two hey, it was a great article, don't get me wrong.
Thank you.
But I feel this is actually relevant to the topic at hand. You described this once, I think, as potentially a healing show, is that right?
For me, and I think in a lot of ways for you, like, this show does have those properties. It has that effect on us.
Okay, I'm going to be an absolute dickhead now, and I apologize profusely for this, but I'm going to actually use the arguments and examples you posted in that very article to go in on MMO Junkie on
okay.
this. So I don't remember the specific names of the actual show, of the manga, or the shows that you're referring to. Was it was manga, wasn't it, if I remember correctly, or was it shows?
One was the positive part of my argument was a manga called I Hear the Sunspot, and the negative end of it was the anime. There's a manga of this, but I've not read it, but it was the anime version of Big Wind Up, Okiku okay. Furikabute, but Big Wind Up for short.
All right, so we have the positive one, and then what I took away from your article was that on the positive side, you felt it was most satisfying and most conducive to being a good work of art, a responsible work of art even, I would say, because you were concerned about people getting the wrong idea
yeah.
about that. Okay, you said that was the case in that particular example because the characters in that manga were aware of their foibles and were allowed to make mistakes and to, you know, occasionally be jerks.
Yeah.
You know, they recognized it. And also because they acted to improve themselves. They took it upon themselves to change for the better. I'm going for your ass.
Yeah,
so if I'm off any point, correct me on that.
Nope. So far, yes.
And in the case of the baseball show, you said that the problem with that one is that for the lead character, all of the stuff that made him better was done for him.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, just like it didn't even make him I didn't really see that much growth.
Yeah.
On his part, you know what I mean? He was just suckling at the teat of dependence. You know, everyone took care of him in every conceivable manner and was tolerant to him to the point which it ceased to feel like a real relationships.
Yeah. Now, I do not for a second think that MMO Junkie is at that level that you described in the article, but let me pose a thought to you. Take the team from the baseball team who are doing all that for that guy.
Okay.
Okay. And replace the baseball team with Destiny and the guy with Morioka.
Yeah, I mean, a lot is breaking right for her. That is absolutely correct. I guess the only difference I see is that in life, sometimes, admittedly not exactly like in fairy tales or stories, but in stories, and also at times in life, things break right for you. And it can be not entirely unreal. Whereas in Ufuri, Big Wind Up, my problem is not with like the circumstances, you know, but with the people around Mihashi. And they're just so inflappable and so undyingly supportive. Like it just ceased to feel like the relationships were meaningful and real, and it just felt like almost like porn for anxious people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like people with social anxiety. He doesn't have to, because you don't have to like change yourself or like put yourself out there or like really push, because everyone is gonna like do more than meet you halfway. The world is going to like bend over to your will. But by the world, I mean the people in it. I totally see the analogy though, and can appreciate where you're coming from. And I entirely appreciate what you're saying about the plot and Morioka's lot, like being fortunate and lucky and contrived to the point of like where it ceases to be a relatable story because just everything good is happening to her.
Well, I should very strongly stress that I don't think of this in that negative sense like you did with the baseball. Like, so not to the same extent, I mean to say. Like, Morioka is making changes, small ones, to improve her lot. The makeover is one of them. It's not like she's completely devoid of doing anything of her own. And there's a difference between having a team of people who actively and unflappably support you and, you know, blow smoke up your ass, to borrow a British term.
Right.
As opposed to the more nebulous concepts of destiny, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that maybe this is more personal for me because I think that for the longest time I felt entitled, shall we say. Like, I thought to myself, hey, I'm not a bad-looking guy, you know, I've got reasonable amount of money, you know, witty, smart, etc., etc., etc. And, of course, romantically, I was very unfulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came to a different conclusion, which is just that, you know, I'm not entitled. I don't deserve Jack Diddley shit. I deserve to be, you know, rewarded for what I'm capable of, but it doesn't mean that everything's necessarily going to happen.
Yeah.
And I think that the way this is trending is running counter to my own personal like belief.
Yeah.
In that this is happening because it's happening and it's not happening because they're taking tangible steps towards it. This is, again, why I was so frustrated at Sakurai, even though I totally get it, for him not simply saying, I'm Lily. It certainly hasn't ruined the show for me. I think maybe as much as I've come down on this and discussed this, it's not done it in for me. Because I think the proof really is going to be in the pudding of what happens when they actually do finally confront each other and say, I know who you are. And you know who I am.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be the litmus test.
Yeah, it's coming.
That is absolutely going to be the moment that's going to determine what I walk away from the show with. Because I still very much want to see more human elements this. Sakurai's been very human this episode. I want to see more stuff about what happened with Morioka and the working. I want to see more things like the dream sequence we saw where we got a bit of insight into her.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think that, ironically, if they had never ever sprinkled any of the work-related elements that brought Morioka down, this would not bother me in the slightest. That's the irony of it. They've left this thread dangling, and I keep plucking at it because I want to find out more and have it then dealt by help, like, you know, enhance and invest myself in some getting more satisfaction out. Because for it to come so low and then come back up, I think would really make me really happy to see.
I agree.
The fact they've left this yarn here and it's just like dangling there and they don't really seem that interested in delving into it, I think is a bit of a mistake.
Yeah.
Either give it more time, not a whole dissection. I don't need to x-ray her very fucking soul here. But alternatively, the one way you could have done it was not have it factored at all. Literally, opening lines is, I'm Morioka, I'm a 30-year-old neat. Don't even bring up the job in any way, shape, or form.
I think it is, though, like you thought, that the show or in the source text, like, could have easily done that, but clearly they're interested in something more, and those higher aspirations, I think, irritate or bother you and other people rightfully, like, when the show begins to feel like the escapism entirely. But I think, I do think like that we will, I am giving the show as I want to do, like, the benefit of the doubt, right?
Yeah, saying, for like, sure.
Three episodes, they got time to touch on that stuff and not leave it an entire mystery. But as much as I just defended, the notion of, like, the coincidences and the, you know, the whiff of destiny that the show has about it, as it is kind of a modern fairy tale in some ways. If it drops the ball regarding either the real life plight of Morioka,
yes,
or the romance, the coming together of Sakurai and Morioka, that will be bad, and I will call the show out for it. I'd like to think that I am honest enough in my assessment of it to do that. As much as I enjoy the fun of it, I do think there's still room for it to miss opportunities. Like, it's not home free in terms of it being
a good
and lasting sort of show yet. Like, it could, I think maybe if it does drop the ball, like it could, we could see it as a fun romp. Like it's a lighthearted lot of fun that could have been something more, but didn't. But hopefully it will, you know, seize that opportunity and be the something more that it has a chance to be.
Yes. One final thing I'll say before we move on from this. I think for me personally, I prefer my escapism to suggest to me as an individual that, yeah, you've got some problems, but you can overcome them by actually recognizing what they are and working to get around them. But that's my flavor of escapism that I like. And I certainly do not begrudge people who have the other kind, which is things will work out all right in the end if you just, you know, keep on trucking, which is what this is tilting towards a little bit. So I don't begrudge, like, that's a purely subjective thing there.
We may come back to this in the future, though, in future episodes.
Oh, for sure. Anyway, let's move on from that point after a long, long, in-depth discussion, but a worthwhile one.
Yep.
So after that revelation, Sakurai decides that it's time to do something. And since he knows that Kowai is here in the game, he's going to use Kowai as his in. He's going to use it as his get-in clause. And he logs on, or rather he's going to log on, after Kowai, bear in mind that Molly Maruoka knows who Kowai is, says, my friend's going to log on too. And now she knows Sakurai plays through Demir. Or rather, he will be playing it, but he doesn't know, yeah. Of course, she does not know still who Lily is. So not a complete set of info yet.
She's going to know, or at least suspect, right?
She's already made a connection earlier when she said that the way Lily spoke reminded her of Sakurai.
Well, okay, yes, there, like that connection could happen. But what I'm thinking is, in much the same way that the previous MMO was
important. Yeah, I know where you go with this.
To Sakurai, and he was like, okay, this is... Yuki, like seeing that character build will, I think, push her to think, was that Sakurai from before?
Yes. I'm thinking that when Sakurai logs in and we see what his character looks like that he's making now, because it won't be Lily, of course.
No. And we saw glimpses of it. It's going to be the same.
It's going to be the Fruit of Mare equivalent.
Yeah.
Of that.
He's going to do what Morioka did with Molly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be the Fruit of Mare equivalent.
Oh boy. It could go so many different ways.
It can. I'm hoping it does. I still really want these two to succeed. If nothing else, I just want to have a scene of them talking about the game, the thing that their shared passion. Let them just have a moment to talk. Yeah. That's all I ask.
Yep.
Anyway, that is episode 7, You and I and Me and You, the non-sequel to Me, Myself and I. No, it's not. It's totally not. Nothing to do with that. The next episode preview, there's actually, I think, a little bit of hope that maybe we'll get that moment where they discuss...
I didn't even watch the preview. I don't know what it is.
Well, there's a scene of Maruoka at work discussing something like about how she once felt seemed like love. Not knowing what specifically that referred to.
Mm.
But nonetheless, that discussion is had. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful we'll get it. But otherwise, yes, that is the end of episode 7. So, Doc, do you have any closing thoughts on this that we've not already discussed in monumental detail? Like, good grief.
Yeah, this is going to be a long episode. I think that I have largely said what I need to say. That I thought... a lot happened, and that this is a good episode. I really, really do see the issues that one could have with the way that the gears are turning for everyone in the background. But man, I sure did enjoy it. And I enjoyed it so much, in fact, that I'm going to give it 4.5 burger pillows out of 5.
If nothing else, I think the episode does deserve a half point for just including the fucking burger pillow. It's it's there. There's no explanation for
my highest rated one yet, because I think there were some really funny moments, some good character scenes, and some of the highest drama and most emotional introspection that, you know, in an episode. Yeah, they certainly, if not the most, then rivaling the most in the show so far.
Yeah. Right. How do I feel? I'm going to have to again stress that I think that the stuff that was happening with Sakurai, particularly in the Illipad episode, was an absolute highlight. It was very, very well handled, very human. I think that a lot of people will feel that way, even if it's not in the context of an MMO. Because expressing yourself to someone, anyone, like a friend, a family member, talking about anything can be really, really hard. I still struggle to, like, be honest and frank with people. Not saying necessarily, of course, that you need to be honest to a fault all the time. Sometimes keeping things to yourself is a good idea. But I certainly could relate and have been where Sakurai's been, where he was having that inner debate with himself about how he feels and how he wants to, like, try and reach out, but at the same time is scared about tainting a good friendship and a good relationship he has with someone already. That being said, I didn't find that there were that many laughs in this one relative to the others. There was like a joke about leaving like food around. I didn't.
Harumi.
Yeah, I didn't.
When they were off.
That fell a bit flat for me.
You didn't like that? I thought it was so weird. It was really funny.
Maybe it's because I've come from the culture that I've seen. That I've not seen that happen firsthand. I thought, this is just weird. I don't know.
That's why it struck me as funny, because it was so bizarre.
Yeah.
And also Nico yelling at the offline Tarumi, like, is your family right there? Are you arguing with them? Can they see what you're doing? Where did you go?
Well, to be fair, if the family were looking at that character, they'd have questions for sure. And also, as we've already discussed, which I won't go into anymore, the reveal of Sakurai and Marika's shared history, I think does the show a disservice. Not a crippling disservice, not even a deep one. It's just not good for what I think for the show's message and for what it's trying to accomplish. But that being said, I still was yelling at the TV wanting Sakurai to. I'm still rooting for these guys. I'm still wanting to see them succeed. I want them to just finally get over their foibles and just talk to each other. I want a repeat of that scene where they went out for drinks together, and instead of it just being all pleasantries and formalities like it was a fucking meeting at the UN, I want them to talk about their shared passion. Because Lord fucking knows, talking about something that you really enjoy with someone who's equally or even more so interested in it than you are is one of the great joys in life. And I can live vicariously through seeing the joy of others, like, even if they are fictional characters. So that's what I want to see, and I still want them to succeed. So in the end, I will give this 3.5 alternative characters out of 5. The lowest I've given thus far, but that is still 3.5 out of 5, which is not awful. And as I've said, the ending of the episode with the outro, like the next episode preview, gives me hope. In fact, Doc, I've actually landed on a picture that I think you will find really adorable and will give you hope. Let me send it to you right this second.
Send it below the picture of Astolfo.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yay. Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes.
That. Wow. I'm a bit... I don't know if that gives me hope or not. I mean, her expression is so, like, she could be broken.
She's eating a fucking sandwich!
Look at her eyes! It could be the sort of, like, they look... She could just be an empty shell.
Don't ruin this!
She's
don't
reeling.
Ruin this for me! Don't ruin this for me, you prick! Fuck my life. I just wanted it to be good. I fucking ruined it. God damn it. Okay.
No, listen, that's not the way I think it will go. I think, yes, I'm very excited now that we have caught up. I'm sure by the time this is posted, episode 8 will be, could be out, or, you know, what I'm trying to say is, we're caught up now, but by the time we post the episode 8 one, like, it won't be... You know what? Fuck it. Why am I even talking? I'm glad we're caught up. The end.
Yeah. One final thing I will say, and this is ironically a plea to Destiny, because I know the show's already been completed. It's not like they can course correct or change anything now. It's all written. Please God, I turn the grand old age of 30 on the 26th November. So episode 8 is the last episode of my late 20s. Give me the fucking birthday present of these two just holding hands for 10 fucking seconds. That's all I ask.
Oh boy.
Please.
That's a big ask.
And it is a Billy episode 8 of 10, so I think that I've got more chance of shitting a gold brick, to be honest. But I can hope, can't I? Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all again very much for tuning in with Streamer Thought. We're now close to the end, actually, of this particular series that we're covering. And I hope you've all been enjoying the new format that we've kind of been working out as we've gone along here. Rest assured that if you all do enjoy this format, it will be returning for other series in the future, which I'm very excited to do. Hopefully the series we cover will generate as much discussion as this has. Or if nothing else, hopefully the series that we'll cover will be so fucking terrible that it'll make for a good riff and a good laugh.
We've gotten some comments that people are enjoying this style of doing it. And while Watery Death Show won't be, you know, we will not be abandoning our traditional multi-hour long deep dives into completed shows. If people really like this, then I am good with doing further streams of thought on new shows.
Yeah, indeed. It makes me think back, like, if I'd have known that we were going to do this format, I would have probably suggested we do it at the time that shows like Orange were airing. Hell, can you imagine what the stream of thought for Kaido would have been like?
This structure, it's referred to as a Kaido.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it might not be good to do. Like, I regret nothing in terms of our Orange podcast. Like, and the moment to moment, like, it. Oh man, it might have gotten rough in there. That's a hard one to be in the middle of. And talk
about.
Man, could have been some real tears shed in multiple moments.
I know. I'd have found it really difficult, especially with the black hole bit. Oh wait. Yeah, I know, right?
Has anyone fan subbed the movie yet?
Excellent question. Couldn't tell you. Not a clue. Anyway, we'll wrap up now, folks. Thank you all very much for listening. You can find me at Shaden1010 or at curiouscat.me/Shaden. Doc, where can you be found on the interwebs?
At the Subtle Doctor on Twitter and curiouscat.me/TheSubtleDoctor.
Mm-hmm. That's right, folks. And until next time, everyone, as always, embrace each other, everyone, to the ends of the universe. Good night.
Mwah.